In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yesterday's text was about heavenly things. It sounded like call day yesterday when Dr. Bartelt preached. Our mission and ministry in the world. A pastor's qualifications. That's what we are all about. Today's text, I believe, takes us down to earth. It is about riches and poverty. It is about the rich, the affluent, the influential, and the poor, the rejected, the isolated, the lonely. But the text is still about heaven and hell. Life in heaven and life after death in hell. The text is read in many different ways. Familiar as it is, scholars cannot decide if it's a parable or a story, illustrative story. This is the only parable that has a person named, we know, Lazarus. Text has been debated just for those sociological, cultural reasons. However, in the world out there, this text is actually used for what is called the preferential option for the poor. How many of us are called Lazarus? Lazarus, the epitome of poverty. And the rich man out there who remains unnamed anyway has the affluence and the benefit of pomp and circumstance. He is a party man. He pretty much epitomizes what Amos called rich people to be. He lay on beds inlaid with ivory and lounged on his couch. He dined in choice lambs and fatted calves, and he drank wine by the bowlful and used the finest of lotions. Rich man he was, and he continued to be. Not even under his table, where dogs would be able to lay. Way outside the gate was this man, lonely, Lazarus, ulcers covering his body, isolated, no friends around, outside the gate. And his dream was still to get a piece of bread or something that would fall down from the dining table of this rich man, where dogs had access. This man, Lazarus, didn't. Preferential option for the poor. God comes down as the poorest of the poor, empathizes, lives for, and cares for the bodily needs of the people. The text is also taken as a text that would speak on social justice. I read from Amos. Let justice roll down, especially in behalf of the poor. It is true that this text talks about social injustice and inequalities. If the poor are to be preferred, and if the poor are blessed of all to be partakers of the kingdom, after 2,000 years of Christian history, why are there still poor people in the world? Worse yet, why are not these poor people at their poverty, in their abject poverty, not coming to listen to the gospel and receive it and embrace it? After all, the kingdom comes to the humble, to the lowly, and the poor. Yes, the text is about the rich and the poor. And we know this throughout history, and even today more than ever, the majority of Christians who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are indeed economically poor. It hurts me bad. Today's lunch I'm going to eat is worth more than a week's compensation for a third of the world's population. In spite of this, Why are the poor not heeding to the gospel call of our Lord Jesus Christ? Although he said, the kingdom of God is near. Good news is preached to the poor. Hearing they will not hear. Hearing they will not understand. May the Holy Spirit lead us and them to faith in Jesus Christ, which is the point of the text for us today. In him, and in him alone, is their salvation. Holistically speaking, for the body, mind, soul, and spirit. Want to be charitable? We cannot beat the Muslims. They set apart 2% of their income as zakat, tax, to help the poor. Want to be poor and sympathetic to people? Hindus fare much better than Christians. The richest Hindu would choose to leave all his property and belongings beside and act out a life in poverty. So they humble themselves and become themselves beggars, Lazaruses of Hinduism. Extend their hand to those who are rich so that by these good deeds, they may indeed be helping God, as it were. As rich become poor, poverty does not take us to heaven. For the rich and for the poor, there is heaven and hell. The rich man was well-clad, well-dressed, well-influenced, had friends and company around him. But now he is in a lonely place, according to this text. He cries out from hell. He cries out for help from hell. And he picks out Lazarus' name, the man who probably he ignored, knew but pretended to have not known. He calls Lazarus for help. In fact, he needs an intercessor to go to Lazarus. He calls out on Abraham, please send Lazarus down. Please send Lazarus down to here so that he may dip his finger in water and quench my thirst. Lazarus is needed even for this rich man when he himself in fiery hell, lonely, rejected, isolated. Lazarus is needed. Prayer requests coming from hell is awfully too late. You know the story. Response is, while we are alive, when the word speaks to us, when the message comes to us, if we reject the word, while we are alive, there is one death. There is life after death. No messenger from heaven would come. The rich man changes the prayer. Perhaps if Lazarus would go down to his significant others, his brothers, they might repent. Response, you know, they have the prophets, they have the apostles, they have the pastors and the evangelists, and the people, while they are alive, would not listen to these our words and words of people like us, God's messengers. Even if someone would heaven from hell, from heaven, would go down and speak to them, they would not listen. We know from John's gospel that Jesus raised the other Lazarus from the dead. How many believed? Word is near us. The word is near the people amidst whom God is sending you and I to bring his word. Would they listen? Would they listen to the one who calls them to themselves before hell bursts open for them? God has favored the whole world, the rich and the poor, God has demonstrated his love and care and concern for the rich and the poor on the cross of his Son. Under the cross, before the cross, the rich and the poor are counted equal after all. We are born in sin and brought up in our iniquities. No one under the sun is guilt-free or sin-free to enter God's presence. The cross is the way. To be brought to the kingdom, God has to come down, and he has touched us with that simple drop of water. In the waters of baptism, he has immersed us, cleansed us, and quenched our thirst. From outside the gate, from under the table, he has raised us up so that we would have the feast of a lifetime with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the company of heaven, a foretaste of which we always enjoy as we come to this table. Preferential option for the sinners. Inclusion of those who are isolated. Identity for people who are lost in this world of confusion and multiculturalism and multi-religious philosophies. Brought together, called together, enlightened, cleansed, nourished. God, give us the power. Send amidst us his word regularly. Speak to us through his Holy Spirit. So we will not only celebrate our life with him, but also open our eyes to see the people who are around us, even amidst us, the sick, the lonely, the poor, the isolated, the rejected, not as we ought, but as we are able, called, gathered, given a name, and brought together in his name, and to serve him and his people here and yonder. So his kingdom, even through our words and our actions, will spread throughout the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.